Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. So we are very fortunate today to have Her Grace Lilitangi Mataji. So for the introduction of the speaker today, I would like to hand over the call to Pallika Mataji. So Mataji, will you please give a brief introduction to Mataji? Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Hare Krishna, all assembled devotees. Dhamya Pranam, all glories to Sri Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Mataji, for giving me the opportunity. So just to give a brief introduction on Her Grace, Lilitangi Mataji. So Mataji was introduced to Krishna consciousness right from a very young age. As a student, she won the first prize in the Bhagavad Gita exam and had the privilege to go to Mayapur. At Coimbatore, she worked as a lecturer and even there, enthused her students and engaged the youth in many Krishna conscious activities. It was at Coimbatore that she personally took great care of many devotees who even now fondly remember her. Though she may not want to admit it, being a true Vaishnava, but she, by her actions, has been a star role model for many. Later, when she moved to South America along with her husband, she did not allow language to come in the way of her teaching and thus learned Spanish and conducted Bhakti Riksha in Spanish, and thus many became wonderful devotees due to her tireless efforts. She presently lives in Charlotte with her husband and two loving kids, Pralad and Imai. She is involved in a myriad of services, conducting kids' Bhagavad Gita classes at home, conducting Bhakti Riksha, reading Bhagavatam to pregnant ladies, helping in Krishna conscious drama, actively participating in book distribution, in hospital Gita, hosting devotees whenever need arises, are just a handful of the countless services that Mataji does. She even went to Prabhupada's village to do deity worship when need arose. Time and again, she comes to the rescue of Bhakti Sangha Kids Academy when need for substitute teachers arises. Though Mataji has been in devotional life for the last 25 to 30 years, but her enthusiasm has still remained intact, just like a newcomer. She is an ardent disciple of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. So we are now thrilled to announce you that today Mataji will be taking the Bhagavata class for the first time in our Bhakti Sangha platform. So please, let's hear attentively. Hare Krishna. So, Dantamangi Mataji, thank you so much. If you can take over the call without further ado, Hare Krishna. Mataji, Lilitangi Mataji, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was talking on mute. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranams to all the assembled devotees. Is the audio clear?
Yes,
yes, Mataji.
Okay. So, I'm very thankful and grateful for all the association that I got from this Bhakti Sangha Jagpa group. Although the introduction looks scary, the truth is that I'm simply live and kicking in spiritual life because of the association of devotees. So it's like running a marathon. So marathon cannot be run single-handedly. There are fellow friends who are running the marathon. There are so many people to cheer. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Vargas who have established this luxury of practicing bhakti anywhere in the world, and who have created the Association of Loving Devotees. So thank you all very much. So let's start today's reading from Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narutamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayet nashtaprayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकीम्। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपीश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणम्। Reading from Canto 4, Chapter 19, Text 4. Anvito Brahma Sharvabhyam Lokapalai Sahanugaihi Upagiyamano Gandharvair Munibis Chapsharoganaihi. Translation and purports by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When Lord Vishnu appeared in the sacrificial arena, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the chief predominating personalities of every planet, as well as their followers, came with him. When he appeared on the scene, the residents of Gandharva Loka, the great sages, and the residents of Apsara Loka all praised him. There's no purpose, so we'll go to text 5. Siddha vidyadara taitya danava guhyakadayaha sunandananda pramukaha pashada pravarahare. Translation: the Lord was accompanied by the residents of Siddha Loka and Vidyadhara Loka, all the descendants of Diti, and the demons and the Yakshas. He was also accompanied by his chief associates, headed by Sunanda and Nanda. Text 6. Kapilo Narado Datto Yogesha Sanakadayah Tam Anviyur Bhagavata Yecha Tat Sevanotsukah. Great devotees who were always engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as well as the great sages named Kapila, Narada and Dattatreya, and masters of mystic powers headed by Sanaka Kumara, all attended the great sacrifice with Lord Vishnu. So this has no purport. We can see that how the scene is described, the arrival of the Supreme Personality of Godhead accompanied by all the associates, and I would like to read the translation, this translation from 5.5.21 to 22, which gives a little description about the different lokas. So the translation goes like this. Of the two energies manifest, spirit and dull matter, beings possessing living force, that is vegetables, grass, trees and plants, are superior to dull matter, which is like stone, earth, etc. Superior to non-moving was plants and vegetables, are worms and snakes which can move. Superior to worms and snakes are animals that have developed intelligence. Superior to animals are human beings, and superior to human beings are ghosts because they have no material bodies. Superior to ghosts are the Gandharvas, and superior to them are the Siddhas. Superior to the Siddhas are the Kinnaras, and superior to them are the Asuras. Superior to the Asuras are the demigods, and of the demigods, Indra, the king of heaven, is supreme. Superior to Indra are the direct sons of Lord Brahma, sons like King Daksha, and supreme among Brahma's sons is Lord Shiva. Since Lord Shiva is a son of Lord Brahma, Brahma is considered superior. But Brahma is also subordinate to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because I am inclined to the Brahmanas are the best of all. So we can see the hierarchy that this beautiful verse from Bhagavatam says, and we can understand the position of King Indra. And so because this chapter deals with King Indra and Maharaj Prithu, two great devotees, so I thought this would be helpful reading about and knowing about the position of Indra. So we'll go to text 7. Yatra dharma duga bhumi sarva kama duga sati dogdi sma vipsitan artan yajamanasya bharatam. Translation: my dear Vidura, in that great sacrifice, the entire land came to be like the milk producing kamadenu. And thus, by the performance of yajna, all daily necessities for life were supplied. Purport: in this verse, the word dharmadhuga is significant, for it indicates kamadenu. Kamadenu is also known as surabhi. Surabhi cows inhabit the spiritual world, and as stated in Brahma Samhita, Lord Krishna is engaged in tending these cows. Surabhi abhipalayantam. One can milk a surabhi cow as often as one likes, and the cow will deliver as much milk as one requires. Milk, of course, is necessary for the production of so many milk products, especially clarified butter, which is required for the performance of great sacrifices. Unless we are prepared to perform the prescribed sacrifices, our supply of the necessities of life will be checked. Bhagavad Gita confirms that Lord Brahma created human society along with yajna, the performance of sacrifice. Yajna means Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sacrifice means working for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, however, it's very difficult to find qualified brahmanas who can perform sacrifices as prescribed in the Vedas. Therefore, it is recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yajnai Sankirtana Prayahi, that by performing Sankirtana Yajna and by satisfying the Yajna Purusha, Lord Chaitanya, one can derive all the results derived by great sacrifices in the past. King Prithu and others derived all the necessities of life from the earthly planet by performing great sacrifices. Now, the Sankirtana movement has already been started by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. People should take advantage of this great sacrifice and join in the society's activities. Then there will be no scarcity. If Sankirtan Yajna is performed, there will be no difficulty, not even in the industrial enterprises. Therefore, this system should be introduced in all spheres of life, social, political, industrial, commercial, etc. Then everything will run very peacefully and smoothly. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, see, we can see that how this purport is beautifully structured. Taking the what we are discussing now is about sacrifices, and Prabhupada culminates it with how to practically perform sacrifice in this age of Kali. So here we know the Surabhi cows. Surabhi, the word means unlimited. And as we read, Surabhi cows can produce unlimited quantity of milk and how many ever times we want. So in comparison to this world's cows, we can milk maybe once or twice, and that's it. So Krishna is tending these Surabhi cows, and we know that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is unlimited. So how could the cows whom he is tending be limited? So Prabhupada is explaining that how milk is necessary for producing ghee, and ghee is required for performance of great sacrifices. So we can see that how cow is a pure animal, it's a completely pure animal, that even the cow dung is considered to, of course, cow dung purifies, it's an agent of purification. I remember my grandmother, so she used to always keep some cow dung in the house, and where we have eaten, she used to wipe the floor with the cow dung and ask me to do that also. And in case if the pots of cooking get contaminated with the eating pots by mistake, so she used to use cow dung, fire and ghee for purifying. So according to the Vedas, if the stool of an animal is considered impure, and when we touch it, we are required to take a bath. But cow dung is so pure that it purifies the contamination of the place and also of the person. And we can also see in the Krishna book that how Mother Yashoda took Lord Krishna after he was playing on the gigantic huge body of Putana. And you know, all the gopis were in shock. They immediately took Krishna. And where did she go first? So she bathed Krishna with the urine of the cow. And she took the tail of the cow and circled Krishna around to ward off all the evil. So we can see that so one may question that how cow dung is so pure. So Prabhupada is giving logic in fifth canto. That's the place that where it's described of an incarnation of the Lord, whose stool and urine he rolls on the stool and urine. He is passed and he doesn't move. But this stool and urine is different, that it's so fragrant that 80 miles around that you can feel the fragrance. So who is that incarnation? Anybody could say?
Lord Rishabhdev Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you. So Lord Rishabhdev, you know, so Prabhupada gives an it's a beautiful purport. I would like to read that purport. And this, he gives a logic of how the Supreme Lord, yeah, so this is from the lecture of Prabhupada. So he says, so here is incarnation of Godhead, Rishabhadeva. Now there are so many rascal incarnations. Is it possible to pass tool and make it Surabhi? Is it possible? So you can ask these rascal incarnation that pass your stool here. Let us see first of all. Then we shall accept you. Practical. We are fools and rascals and we want practical test. So Shastra Chakshuhu. This is the injunction. Shastra. Here is Shastra. That the incarnation of God, even he passes tool, it is fragrant. He can do it. That is God. That practically you can see that the cow dung. Cow dung, you can make a stack of cow dung here. It will never disturb you. You'll rather feel pleasure passing through that portion of field where cow dung is stacked. You'll never feel any disturbance because it is pure. Cow dung, we have discussed this point many times. Where it is impure, that it makes pure. In Indian villages, still they use cow dung for smearing over the floor and it becomes very nice, fresh and purified. That is injunction of the Shastra that cow dung is pure. So, if by the will of Krishna, by the arrangement of Krishna, even an animal's stool can become so purified, what to speak of Krishna's stool? So this is so nice and interesting. I have heard that Prabhupada, many lectures, he says that, you know, if somebody is saying that I am God, he's saying lift the Govardhan hill or, you know, expand yourself into 16,108. Or if you claim to be Lord Shiva, drink the poison and show. But here he's saying something very practical. So we can say that the human beings, we are called Nara or Nari. Because one meaning of that is that our body is filled with, you know, objectionably smelling substances. And that's the reason we use all the things in the bathroom, the scent and other things to ward off. But when we consider the higher planetary systems, they are made up of subtle bodies. And when we read in Bhagavatam, when they come and take bath in a lake, especially in the pastime of Gajendra, that Trikuta lake is made fragrant by the fragrance emanating from their bodies. So we have seen that such planets exist, and Srila Prabhupada says that it is foolish to say that in the whole existence of millions and billions of planets, that only this planet has an ecological system that is suitable for human survival. Of course, our body is made up of a certain combination of earth, water, fire, air and ether, and this ecological system is suited for our body's survival. At the same time, that doesn't mean that all the other planets are empty. Recently, in my Los Angeles trip, we visited the Griffith Observatory. And there we attended a planetary show in the planetarium. And so it was so nice to see that how they describe that there are so many planetary systems and there are so many galaxies, and Milky Way galaxy is one among the infinite galaxies, and inside that is our solar system, and inside that is the Earth planet. And the end of the research of the scientist, or the research of the scientist is going to find out that if life is present in other planetary systems. So now they are taking Mars and they were discussing the Moon. So Srila Prabhupada often says that with this body it's hard to travel there, because the bodily system that is required for entering the planet is different. Same way the sun planet, we can see in the chapter 2, Prabhupada gives his example of explaining Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan as the sun's rays, the sun's disk, and then entering the sun planet. So, and also he explains that the sun's planet it's a very beautiful sun in the morning here. So the sun's planet is, the light is emanating because all the inhabitants of the sun planet, their bodies are illuminating. So their bodies are producing light, who is present in the sun planet. And when we read the modern scientist books, they say that there are some atomic reactions that's happening inside the sun planet, and that atomic reaction is so powerful and it's almost inexhaustible, and their calculation is for sun has been there from billions of years and it will continue for billions of years more. So we can see how Srimad Bhagavatam is so personal, the Vedic literature is so personal, that for all the natural resources we see, there is a person who's managing it. As much as there is different departments, water department, sewage department, electricity department, and so many other departments, and they are managed by persons who are qualified. So how could it be that the nature is simply existing like that? That there has been so many wonderful phenomena going on, and it just came about being there by the explosion of some two substances, Big Bang. So we can see that the aim is to reduce the personalist philosophy to minus consciousness and personalist, to make it impersonal and system wise, so that we don't have to bother about creation and we don't have to bother about the purpose of creation. But if we come to these Vedic literatures, it's scientifically explained that how it is practical logic to take information from these scriptures and to understand that these planets are existing and there are beings existing in these planets and there are different gradations, and what are the quality of the beings existing in those planets are also explained in the scriptures. So Srila Prabhupada many times in the lecture, in his lecture, he has said that how by putting our faith in the Shastras, which is not blind faith, and we are also doing the same thing that the scientists are doing. For example, he brings about a point that was anyone present here 100 years before? Now we are in 2019. In 1919, where anyone was there? Hardly a few handful of people are present in this planet, or maybe a little more, who have been present here 100 years before. So on what basis the scientific knowledge is taken? On the basis of the research and the basis of putting your faith on the research of people who lived, the scientists who lived before, and it's recorded. For example, maybe 400, 500 years before. So in that case also, Big Bang theory, was anyone personally present there 40 billion years ago? No. So scientists, anumana, they use the technique of anumana or assumption or inference to come into conclusion of what could have happened before. So, some of us, choose to put faith in the scientists and the science language, and which also is putting faith ultimately on a person or a group of persons who make a theory which is like, which is inferred, or uses a theory of inference that this could have happened. At the same time, devotees, we are also putting faith on the saints and rishis, on the scriptures, and this technique is called Shabda, or the process of taking information from authorities. So when I attended the first Bhagavad Gita class, this was the example they gave, that the three process of acquiring knowledge, Pratyaksha, or sense inference, and Anumana, or inference or assumption from the results of what could have happened, and Shabda, or hearing from authorities. So the person explained with the example of making a gulab jamun. So suppose I there is a person who first eats gulab jamun, and he likes it. Of course, everybody likes gulab jamun, and he wants to try to make it. So he tries to make it in the first process. So he takes data from the gulab jamun according to what his senses can perceive, that it is sweet, or it is soft, it is brown in color, and whatever else data that the visible sense perception can take it, and he's trying to make a gulab jamun. So the second person is coming, and he's trying to break down the components of the gulab jamun, the nutrients, that it has so much sodium, so much carbohydrate, so much protein, so much fat, and then analyzing that and trying to gather the ingredients, and he's going about making it. And the third person, he goes and asks the cook, how did you do that? And then he's trying to follow the recipe, and he does it. So which gulab jamun will you take? Obviously, the third person's. So because this is the process of shabda. That is, we don't ask a swimmer or an athlete about how he made the gulab jamun. We would go to a cook who did the gulab jamun, and we take information from him. So similarly, these shastras are authorized scriptures, bona fide, to open our eyes to see things that is beyond the reach or conception of the human intelligence. So I remember the example, Sikki Mahiti Prabhu, who came in this conference call many years ago, he gave this example that the human beings trying to understand everything on their own is like an ant who is crossing the pavement in Georgia trying to understand what kind of government Georgia has, the mayor and all the systems of departments, and then you know how it is connected to the president and all those things. How will the ant be able to take all this? Similarly, we insignificant human creatures, if invisible creatures like microbes, like virus and bacteria attack us, we are not able to perform our functions properly. We have common cold or fever, and see, come autumn or come spring, there is take the shots, and then the schools are full of diseases and go on, and it's so on. So see, the microbes are so small that we cannot even see them. But see the impact that they can create in a human body, the diseases, and how they can stop it. And similarly, when there is some hurricane, some tornado, something coming, of course we have developed our systems to know about it through satellites, and that's commendable. But what else we can do? We cannot stop them. Neither we can stop the heat of the summer season, nor the heat of the winter, cold of the winter season. Of course, we can condition the air that we live in the space, and we can go on. So that is our insignificant position, and compared to this whole universe. And so it is wise to take the information from the shastras, which is passed down by in the bona fide disciplic succession. And in this way, we can see things that is beyond our perception. And not only see things, but we can experience that also. That's what Krishna says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram, Idam Uttamam. This science of devotional service is a king of knowledge, is the purest. And what he further says, Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam. So sukham kartum avyayam, by joyfully performing it, because when you perform devotional service, when you perform this bhakti yoga, it is joyful. And what is the next thing? Pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam. You can feel it, like how we pratyaksha, through your senses you can experience what is being taught. And that is science. Science is observation and experiment. And that's the same science is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. This is the observation and experiment of our own personality. What is this creation? Who created this? What is the purpose of our life? So So all these things come into picture when we take the when we take those personalities. Our Vedic scriptures are personal. So that's why we see the devas governing the different portfolios of universal management. And Prabhupada often gives this example that you pay the water tax, you are paying the electricity tax, and if you fail to pay it, the connection is cut off. So when we are born, we see all these things are available, the sunlight, the moonlight, and the air to breathe, the water to drink, the fire to cook our food, the earth to stay. We are not floating in space. We know what gravity is. So all these things, we can't take it for granted because we are using them. So whatever we are using, we have to pay the debt. So if not, what we are like, we are taking like a thief. So that's why here he's saying that unless we are prepared to perform the prescribed sacrifices, our supply of the necessities of life will be checked. So in Bhagavad Gita, the series of verses, I'm just going to read the translation from 3rd chapter, text 9. This is a famous shloka everyone knows. Ejnyatat karmano anyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way, you will always remain free from bondage. Text 10. Sahayajna prajasrishtva purovacha prajapatihi anena prasavishyadvam esha oshtva ishtakamaduk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of creatures sent forth the generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. Text 11. Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantu vaha parasparam bhavayantaha shreya paramavapsyata. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you. And thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Text 12. Ishtan bhogan hi o deva dasyante yajna bhavitaha taidattan apradayaibhyo yo bhunkte stena eva saha. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Stena means a thief. And then comes text 13. Yajna shishtachina santo muchyante sarvakilipishaihi bhunjate te twagam papa epa chantyatma karanat. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So this beautiful purpose in these texts with logic, how Prabhupada is telling that if we are not going to perform sacrifice, then we are taking everything from the nature without giving anything in return back to the demigods, and we are called a thief. So what is meant by sacrifice and why perform sacrifice? So sacrifice means there are different when I googled, I found so many meanings, and one prominent meaning is that to offer something to someone and to do it willingly, although it causes inconvenience, we are doing that because we are grateful. So the human life, the problem is that when we do anything for ourselves, there is a reaction to it, and then we either have to suffer or enjoy the reaction. That's why even the Hebrew literatures, the Bible and the Quran, everything talks about sacrifice. Because the human life, the purpose is to live in such a way that your future is good. Like we plan for the future here, we want a nice house, we want to take care of ourselves after retirement. And even the planning goes that, you know, we even save money for the funeral services. Here we can see that, you know, what kind of coffin I want and where, what should, who should, how should be the funeral services and things like that. But the point is, we continue to live beyond. We are a spirit soul, and we don't end, our existence doesn't end with this body as much as our existence didn't start with the beginning of this body. So it is intelligence, once we understand this, that we perform actions in such a way that in our future lives, in our future existence, even beyond this body, we live peacefully and happily. So here it is, Prabhupada gives the science of how Lord Brahma created this world, and he sent men and demigods, and also sacrifices that needs to be performed by men and demigods as well. And so there is a nice supply of a chain of supply of things that are required to for this universe to run, to live peacefully, and that chain is going on. And so the material aspect of life is taken care of, and then a person can think peacefully about the real purpose of the life, which is spiritual evolution. So if we are not performing the sacrifices for demigods, in the purport Prabhupada says that it's a must that one has to perform Pancha Maha Yajna every day. And I've seen that some people who are very few in number, but they're still doing it in villages in South India. And so the whole, if you think about the amount of yajnas that you have to perform in return to what we are getting from the demigods, the air we breathe, how can we repay? If the air is choking, and that's it. And throughout the life, you can imagine how much amount of air we breathe. So the same way, you know, all the other supplies of life. So it is said that if we don't perform yajnas for the satisfaction of them, that means we are thieves, and then we are subjected to reaction of that, because we are taking something without giving back. So that is what, it's a very beautiful purpose. We can read them, and Prabhupada very logically says this. See, I would like to read from text 12, some part of the purpose. Without the Supreme Lord, there can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall, breeze, etc., without which no one can live. Obviously, our life is dependent on supplies from the Lord. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from the material struggle for existence. The aim of life is attained by performance of yajnas. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves, and therefore we are punished by the loss of material nature. A society of thieves can never be happy because they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yajnas. So, putting us in this position, now, you know, we are all alarmed, like, where do we go and perform all these yajnas, and how many to perform, and how to satisfy each and every demigod. So that is why in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada says that it is hard to find qualified brahmanas. Forget about qualified brahmanas. Do we get proper milk, proper yogurt and proper ghee? Everything is contaminated. So how do you think that, you know, the devas, if we offer sacrifices like this, they will come and accept it? Already, you know, this we have so much messed up everything with this planet, right from drinking water to everything is genetically modified, and you know, it's like, it's so dirty place that they wouldn't even like to come here. Previously there was interplanetary travels, and as we see how in the horse sacrifices performed by King Prithu, all the denizens of different planetary systems came here along with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one may question, why is it not happening now? So, you know, would we like to go some place or some country which is not safe? I remember when we were in Uruguay, the neighboring country was Paraguay, and we had a friend who come over to the house. So he was telling that he was working in some company, I forget which company, and he was coming to Paraguay to make a business deal. So he was explaining that right from when he got down from the plane, there were two gunmen escorting him to the place where he has to do the negotiation, business negotiation, and then back also. So he was asking them that why are you providing me this? So he says that, you know, that's Paraguay. And the person, he said that it is a common saying in South America that if anything, anywhere, if any car is lost anywhere in South America, you can find it in Paraguay. So then, you know, he was saying that how tensed he was, guarded by two gunmen until he boarded the plane, and then he came back to Uruguay, and he was telling this, I'm not going to come here on any assignment. So I was thinking the same thing with the devas. So here we have messed it up so much, like, you know, nobody would like to go to a country where there's so much going on, no proper control, and, you know, everybody doing everything they want. And so the devas wouldn't like to come here, or even if we offer them anything, sacrifices, what purity do we have? Neither are we pure, nor anything is pure here. So how will they accept it? But Srila Prabhupada gives him the purport as savior that this Kali Yuga, the Yajna Purusha, is Lord Chaitanya. Just like in the Satya Yuga, the Yajna Purusha was Lord Varahadev. And in different yugas, the Yajna Purushas are the personality of Godhead in different incarnations. Krishna says, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata. So every time there is a religion going off track, the dharma is going off track, I incarnate and I set back it on the tracks again to keep rolling. And in each incarnation, I give that much information and philosophy that can be, that is necessary for that set of people. So that's also a beautiful purport in which Prabhupada says that not only that all the incarnations are born in Indian soil, sometimes Krishna comes himself, sometimes he sends his representative and his son, his dear servants, and they give that much religion that can be accepted by that much in that particular time and circumstances. So this Kali Yuga, the Sankirtana Yajna, is a process for pleasing the Yajna Purusha, who is Lord Chaitanya. So we all know the history that how I think all the sages came and asked Vyasadeva that which is the best of the three yugas, Satya, Treta and Dwapara. They did not even consider Kali. But Vyasadeva was taking a bath, and, you know, and then he's coming up and he's telling three times, I'm saying, because it is easy. All the other processes in all the other ages are time consuming and troublesome, and lot of sacrifices is the things that and qualification to do. The thing that a person has to do is more. But here in Kali Yuga, since we are already rotten, everything is given for free. And that too, especially this 10,000 years in Kali Yuga, in the first starting age, is the Sankirtana movement or the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. That when we do that, then all the other, all the devas are satisfied on their own. We don't need to do any yajnas to satisfy them individually. So there is this shloka in 4.31.14. Yatatarormula nisechanena kripyanti tatskanda bujopashakaha pranopaharachayatendriyanam tataiva sarvarhanam achyutejyam. As pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs, and everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, simply worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service automatically satisfies the demigods who are parts of that Supreme Personality. So in this purport, Prabhupada is asking a question. So should we worship the Supreme Lord and the demigods as well? So he says that it is not necessary because our time is short, and the purpose of this creation and the purpose of the agents of the Lord, the demigods are there, is for one purpose, that the living entity is getting liberated from the cycle of birth and death and going back to his original, reinstated in his original Swarupa, or the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the purpose of the devas as well. So that being the purpose of the creation and purpose of the devas, through devotional service, when we do that, definitely they are automatically satisfied. So here he gives the example that, you know, it is not possible, neither logical, to try to feed the food to all the senses. Food should be given to the mouth and through the to the stomach, and that is converted into energy and that nourishes the whole body. So similarly, when we do devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is like giving food to the stomach, and all the devas are the parts and parcels of that Supreme Personality of Godhead who are automatically nourished. So we don't disrespect them, we don't offend them, but since our time is short, and manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyahi upadritaha, so many disturbances, and also our goal of life is not an ordinary goal, it's a lofty goal. We have to cross through atav, shraddha, tata sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, nishta, ruchi, and finally bhava and prema. So all these things in a short form of life, in a short duration of life, and being disturbed, and our goal is to develop love, unalloyed, 100% completely pure love for that Supreme Personality of Godhead who has accompanied us as a super soul throughout the sojourns of billions and billions of lifetimes in this material world.
Hare Krishna. I think Mataji has some internet issue. Hare Krishna, can you all hear me?
Hare Krishna, am I audible, Mataji? Mataji?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, I'm sorry I got disconnected. So, so we have a short duration of life and we have a lofty goal. So we go on with Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, Ekeha Kuru Nandana. So we use all our capacities, mind, body, intelligence. That's what the meaning of Kayena Vacha, Manasendriyaiva, Buddhyatmanaba, Prakrite Swabhava, Karomi Yatyat, Sakalam Parasmai, Narayanayati Samarpayami. So Prabhupada is so practical that he doesn't want us to be just Krishna chanting or Krishna service. It's a deep thing, Krishna consciousness. I mold our life in such a way that we will always think about the Lord and develop pure love for Him. So he says that people should take advantage of this great sacrifice, which is Sankirtana Yajna, and join in the society's activities. So there are different activities, you know, book distribution, preaching, prasadam distribution, aratis, and you know, college preaching. So many things, variety of things to engage us according to the time, place and circumstances. So we are very grateful to Prabhupada for making bhakti so accessible, so easy to perform and so blissful to perform. So he says that this system should be introduced in all spheres of life, social, political, industrial and commercial. Then he concludes that then everything will run very peacefully and smoothly. So finally, in conclusion, in text chapter 10, text 25, Maharshina Mrigurahaṁ Giram Asmi Ekamaksharam Yajnanapa Yajnosmi Stavaranam Himalayaham. Of the great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, Japa Yajnanam Japa Yajnosmi. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. So thank you very much for giving this opportunity and patiently listening. If there is any questions and if I could answer them, I can take it now. If there are any corrections, please come forward. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for this insight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you,
Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Gaurangi Mataji.
Oh my goodness, I'm dealing with echo. I don't know if you hear it also, but when you were giving the Gulab Jamun analogy for acquiring knowledge, the first two, the analogy for sense perception and then the analogy for acquiring knowledge through logic. Can you just repeat those two for that?
Okay, so Hare Krishna, am I audible?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, I'm sorry for asking it often. So always in the conference call, I'm trying to see if the speaker is audible to the listener.
Oh, of course. Do that.
Yeah, so the first is called Pratyaksha, or sense perception, acquiring knowledge through what your senses can perceive. That is the first one. And so that is basically the science is doing the pratyaksha predominantly and anumana. Anumana means acquiring knowledge through inference. So in the Gulab Jamun example, the pratyaksha is trying to acquire knowledge through the senses by it is sweet, it is soft, it is round, it is brown in color. So whatever the data that the senses could collect, we do that, and then we acquire knowledge through that and that only. And in Anumana, it is like inference. Like for example, when you go somewhere, suppose you go to your friend's house and she has invited a lot of people, seeing the slippers outside, you can say, okay, so this is there, this is my friend, so many people are there and my friends have all come. So that is Anumana. Based on the result, you infer that this is what could have been happened. But that could also go wrong because somebody else would have come having the same slipper on that day. So these are the two process. The Shastras explain that these are the three processes of acquiring knowledge, and they compare.
I'm sorry, Mataji. Can you give that again?
For the friends,
you know,
the Anumana. So Anumana is something. The result is perceivable, and through the result, you say that this is what could have been happened. So you come to the conclusion. If you're going to a friend's house and you see the slipper of your friend outside from some other friend, so before entering in, you conclude that my friend's
Hare Krishna Mataji, your voice is not audible.
Yeah, Mataji got disconnected, I think, so Mataji will be joining back.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. When you were explaining the connection was so broken, I think if you could begin again with that part.
Inference. So inferring process by the result. So the various examples that could be given in that, and one is that, like, you know, you find that somebody, one other example that the temple president gave in Coimbatore was that he was telling that when they opened the new temple in the night, it was in a good place, and devotees moved in need, and they hear a sound of some person snoring. So, you know, it was coming from a particular place, and, you know, they thought that somebody else had come inside this facility. It was like half construction site and half the building was done. So they're going around searching. It looks like it's somebody snoring, somebody's here. So all the devotees are searching, and finally they found out it's coming out from a pile. So it is like, you know, it is giving out air and it is making a snoring sound.
Mataji, can you come from your phone?
Yeah, I'll join from my phone, Mataji. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Am I audible now?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I'm so sorry for the confusion.
No, today is hard to get knowledge by Shabda.
So I don't know where I got cut off.
Well, you're giving another analogy for production for Anuman, where somebody was snoring, but actually the sound was coming from something else.
Yeah. So the sound was coming from a water pipe. Finally, they found out that, and this was an example that they gave. So it was so the president gave in the class that this was so. Nobody would believe that it could come from a pipe. It was so much like some intruder has come and he has been snoring. So he said that how everyone's inference or anumana was wrong.
Yeah. But I wanted specifically the Gulab Jamun analogy for Anuman.
Okay, so the Gulab Jamun analogy was trying to see the nutrients in that. So Anumana also has sense perception, but more than that, they are like the processes and the result of it, which is already recorded, and then you go in that way, and then you infer that this is what could have been done. So in the Gulab Jamun analogy, this is akin to making something that has the same calorie and the same nutrients, seeing the nutrients label. Trying to say something which has the same percentage of protein, carbohydrates and sodium and this and that. Trying to get
that. Okay, thank you. And then one last thing is, it's going to be hard to maybe for you to figure out what I mean here, because there was very early in the lecture you were saying yajna. I think you're saying yajna is Krishna, and then something else is. I know this question is too vague, maybe for you to answer. But you were giving definition of yajna, right? And also definition of something else closely related. I think you were defining yajna as Krishna, and then I don't know, maybe the.
I think that's from the purport. Let me read that again, those lines, and you can say that whether... here, Yajna means Lord Vishnu.
Yes.
Personality of Godhead, and sacrifice means working for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay, so I see why I had the question. It's because, you know, we usually refer to both those things as sacrifice. Yajna we usually define as sacrifice. But here, in the purport, it seems like yajna is being distinguished from sacrifice.
Yeah, there are so many meanings, and one meaning is this, yajna also means Lord Vishnu. And we have another example from Bhagavatam. I don't remember the personality of Godhead who came. I think, I don't know if any devotees remember that. And he's called, Yajna is an incarnation of Vishnu. The name of incarnation of Vishnu is Yajna.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is, it seems that Yajna can be used both ways. One as Krishna and one as the act of making sacrifice for Krishna, both ways, no?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, and for tolerating all this phone problem to answer my question. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your questions, for all the speakers, and we are really benefiting by that, and we appreciate that. You're doing the hard job of thinking and hearing scrutinizingly. So we are getting benefit by that, so thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I guess it's team effort, right? Team effort. No questions without the speaker, so.
But it requires requires an effort to do that and ask questions, and so yeah, we are benefited. It's like there is a proverb in my language in Tamil which says that if a good person is there, the rain comes because of the good person being there. And because of the good person is there, the rain comes, all the other people who are there also gets benefited by the rain. So
nice.
That's we are indebted to each other, you know, because...
Yeah, exactly. That's my point, you know. Because the people like you who are speaking, they put so much energy into preparing for class. So this sangha is my life and soul, so I can never repay my debt to all of you who do so. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, dear Ji, Lalitangi, Radha Devi Dasi. Dhanwat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. How nice is narrating the today's class, Mataji. Please give your assessment regularly. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, again, Koti Koti, Dhanwat Pranam, Lalita Ratha Devi Dashi.
Thank you so much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. What a saintly heart you have. And, you know, it's so nice. Every time, even before we come to Atlanta, you're ready. Please come to my house and stay. So you open your heart and your house for devotees. So my humble obeisances to you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for the wonderful class. We look forward to your more sessions on Bhakti Sangha conference call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for your wonderful association.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Mataji. Hare Bol.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Rajangi Mataji. Go ahead, Mataji, and after we.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanwat Pranam, all glories Krishna, Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Mataji, ki, please give your association regularly, means you can also give so much of knowledge to us, Mataji. Mataji, give your class regularly.
Thank you, Mataji. Whatever little bit I have is for sharing. And yeah, definitely, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Nitangi Mataji. Such a beautiful, beautiful class. How the concept, how you broke it up into very simple, simple terms for us to understand. It was a treat to all of us. So please give your association and your classes more often so that we all can enjoy the nectar that you are giving us. And I love the importance of the concept of the cow dung, how important it is, how you even connected it with your grandma's experience. So this is how I think when one gives the lecture, how we connect all the things, how you connected everything of your past, then how you can related things from the shastras, each and everything. So makes it so easy. Not only that, it can also help us if we have to explain to others. We know, you actually quoted from each of the things also, even for the cow dung also you explained how, where Prabhupada has, in his prophets has mentioned it. So that's, in fact, I have to re-listen to the recording to note down those details. Thank you, Mataji. It was wonderful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. This is how we are taught, and this is how, you know, Srila Prabhupada says in his lecture. I think one Prabhu, he was telling that I was telling the same thing to him, that you're telling very nicely the concepts, and he said that, do you want to know the secret? I listen to at least 2-3 lectures of Prabhupada a day. So, yeah, we have been taught like that, so we assimilate and we pass it on, and thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Yeah, please, Mataji, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much. This is Priya from Mooresville. I just joined. It is because of your class, Mataji. All the time, you are the one who drives us. So it is such a wonderful class. I am still not, though I get associated with you for so long, still I am in a listening mood only, ready to ask some questions or something. I'm just taking all the inputs, Mataji. Very, very beautiful. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priya Mataji. You in listening mode, you are single-handedly with the help of Priyanka Mataji and Sudhi Prabhu are running a Bhakti Vriksha, in Mooresville, which is like 1 hour from Charlotte, and you've been doing consistently last so many months, inspiring so many people with devotional service and taking kids camp. So, in fact, I am very inspired and very grateful for your association, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, all because of your, guidance and help, Mataji. Thank you so much for Prabhupada and you and all Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji. Haribo.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions for Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Just a comment. But before that, thank you so much, Mataji. It was a nice class. You covered a lot of foundational principles that Prabhupada always emphasizes in his scriptures and his classes both. Thank you. Just one thing, when you were talking about the Yajna, I just wanted to mention that in the Treta Yuga is the one where the Yuga Avatar for Treta Yuga is Yajna. And he appeared to Lord Brahma, and he is the one who established that fire sacrifice is the process for perfection or self-realization in Treta Yuga, Mataji, son of Brahma.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Really, I appreciate. Thank you so much for this information and your valuable association throughout.
Hare Krishna, if no one has any question or comments for Mataji anymore, then we can end the call here. Okay, thank you everyone for joining. So we can offer obeisances. Vancham Kaltaru Bhishya Kripa Sindhu Evcha Patitana Pavne Pyo Vaishyame Pyo Namo Namah Anant Koti Vaishyavandhi Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Harbhes Lalitamya Mataji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Jayashree.